thank you, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, for listening to my Blog Talk Radio show, Living Eternal Truths. And this is Easter Friday. And this is a special half-hour show pertaining to Easter Friday. Now, some people call this Good Friday, and others call it Evil Crucifixion Friday. And which way is it? We have Jesus Christ here in spirit, as He, the Father, Son, Union, Spirit of Truth. He leads us into all truth. And we're going to find in this short show the true words revealed by Jesus on this special show of Easter's Friday Reflections on the Crucifixion and Jesus' actual words. So now we'll begin. I'll be reading from the Urantia book and from the Bible. The Urantia book is a revelation given to uplift all humans on this planet, given around 1934-1935, came into the Chicago, Illinois area. It's a large book, it's 2,097 pages, and because it was given by superhumans, it's free of copyright, it's fully in the public domain. So all of these readings I'm doing from the Urantia book, you may share with others if you think that would be beneficial to them. We always have to be positive in our approach, as Jesus Christ would do. So now we will begin. We'll start in paper 186, and this is in part 4 of 4 of the Urantia book on the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. For 186 is just before the crucifixion, section 5, Jesus' death in relation to the Passover. And this is very important. Page 2002, there is no direct relation between the death of Jesus and the Jewish Passover. True, the Master did lay down His life in the flesh on this day. I add that was April 7th, 1830. And this time, the ministers get together, various Catholic and Protestant ministers, and they decided that Easter would be the 21st.
But the actual Easter was April 9th.
Okay. True, the Master did lay down His life in the flesh on this day, the day of the preparation for the Jewish Passover, and about the time of the sacrificing of the Passover lambs in the temple. But this coincidental occurrence does not in any manner indicate that the death of the Son of Man on earth has any connection with the Jewish sacrificial system. Jesus was a Jew by birth in His body. Jesus was a Jew. But as the Son of Man, He was a mortal of the realms. I add, this whole world and also His own universe. That's His realms. We live in a large local universe named Nebadon, created by Jesus Christ a long time ago, about 400 billion years ago. Scientists now know that the Big Bang is wrong. They believe in an eternal or steady state universe, or a progressing universe. Given up on the Big Bang. Very few people know about that, but you can find that research online under New Physics. All right, reading on. The events already narrated leading up to this hour of the Master's impending crucifixion are sufficient to indicate that His death at about this time was a purely natural and man-managed affair. Man-made affair. Man murdered Jesus, not God. I would say not just an average man, but very sinful, evil temple leaders contrived for the torture and death of Jesus. Reading on, it was man, not God, who planned and executed the death of Jesus on the cross. True, the Father refused to interfere with the march of human events on earth, but the Father in paradise did not decree, demand, or require the death of His Son as it was carried out on earth. It is a fact that in some manner, sooner or later, Jesus would have had to divest Himself of His mortal body, His incarnation in the flesh. But He could have executed such a task in countless ways without dying on a cross between two thieves. All this was man's doing, not God's. I add, years later, it was the new Apostle Paul who added his atonement doctrine in his failed attempt to convert more Jews to Christianity. Even all the Old Testament sacrifices to allegedly appease God are all purely man-made. This is not God's will. Reading on, at the time of the Master's baptism, He had already completed the technique of the required experience on earth and in the flesh, which was necessary for the completion of His seventh and last universal bestowal. At this very time, Jesus' duty on earth was done. All the life He lived thereafter, even the manner of his death was a purely personal ministry on his part for the welfare and uplifting of his mortal creatures, as us humans, on this world and on all other worlds. Jesus Christ Michael now has over 3.8 million human inhabited planets in our local universe made by Jesus named Nebadon. And what a loving and merciful Creator Father, Jesus Christ, we have. The gospel of the good news that mortal man may, by faith, and I add faith is a free gift from God, mortal man by faith becomes spirit conscious that he is a son of God. Thus all humans, males and females, are spiritually classified as sons of God, daughters of God, or the different types of angels. That is not dependent on the death of Jesus. True indeed, all this gospel of the kingdom has been tremendously illuminated by the Master's death, but even more so by his life. Amen. I add, we worship and follow our living Jesus here in spirit, not a historical past event. So many ministers try to put Jesus in the past, everything past tense. Next paragraph. All that the Son of Man said or did on earth greatly embellished the doctrines of sonship of God and of the brotherhood of man. That's all mankind. But these essential relationships of God and man are inherent in the universe facts of God's love for his creatures and the innate mercy of the divine sons. These touching and divinely beautiful relations between man and his maker on this world and on all others throughout the universe of universes have existed from eternity. They are not in any sense dependent on these periodic bestowal enactments of the Creator's sons of God, who thus assume the nature and likeness of their created intelligences as a part of the price which they must pay for the final acquirement of unlimited sovereignty over their respective local universes. That's very important. By Jesus coming down in seven bestowals, living as his created beings, and the lowest being created is humans, of course. We start at the lowest level and we go all the way up as high as anybody else into all divine perfection and glory. So the way Jesus is, we will be in a long ascension through many heavens. We'll be like Jesus in spirit. We'll be a divine, eternal creator, son of God. And so after doing this bestowal, Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, creative mother, spirit partner, are as God to us. Next paragraph. The Father in heaven loved mortal man on earth just as much before the life and death of Jesus on earth as he did after this transcendent exhibition of the co-partnership of man and God. This mighty transaction of the incarnation of the God of Nebadon in our local universe as a man on earth could not augment the attributes of the eternal, infinite, and universal Father up in paradise and omnipresent. But it did enrich and enlighten all other administrators and creatures in the universe of Nebadon. While the Father in heaven loves us no more because of this bestowal of Jesus Christ, Michael means he who is just like God, that's Jesus Christ, all other celestial intelligences do. And this is because Jesus not only made a revelation of God to man, but he also likewise made a new revelation of man to the gods, as the Father, the Trinity of paradise, and to the celestial intelligences of the universe of universes. Page 2003. Jesus is not about to die as a sacrifice for sin. He is not going to atone for the inborn moral guilt of the human race. Mankind has no such racial guilt before God. Guilt is purely a matter of personal sin and knowing deliberate rebellion against the will of the Father and the administration of his sons. Sin and rebellion have nothing to do with the fundamental bestowal plan of the paradise sons of God. Albeit it does appear to us that the salvage plan is a provisional feature of the bestowal plan. The salvation of God for the mortals of earth would have been just as effective and unerringly certain if Jesus had not been put to death by the cruel hands of ignorant mortals. If the Master had been favorably received by the mortals of earth and had departed from earth by the voluntary relinquishment of his life in the flesh, the fact of the love of God and the mercy of the Son, the fact of sonship of God, would have in no wise been affected. You mortals, that's you and me and all humans, you mortals are the sons of God. And only one thing is required to make such a truth factual in your personal experience. That is your spirit-born faith. Amen. I state, note well that a true God is not a stern, wrathful, vampire God, needing a perfect fix of pure, sinless blood of his eternal creator son, Jesus Christ, before his alleged wrath can be appeased. Please drop all the false Old Testament scapegoat, lamb, blood sacrifice, atonement garbage. God is eternally loving and changeless, absolute. Jesus well knew that some very stubborn, non-spiritual humans of that time would reject his truth of spiritual liberty and sonship with God freely offered to all. But he willingly allowed all this murderous human evil and demonic iniquity to play itself out. All sin does contain within itself the seeds of its eventual destruction. So fear not, and even rejoice in Jesus in spirit and in his Father-Son truth. Always know and share that God the Paradise Father of all reality is just as loving and merciful and kind and perfect as Jesus is. They are one in spirit. Let us truth lovers also be one in him. Now we continue with more epical revelation on this for your prayerful reflections this Friday. Now we go to paper 187, The Crucifixion, introduction, page 2004. What Jesus is now about to do, submit to the death on the cross, he does of his own free will. And foretelling this experience, he said, "The Father loves and sustains me because I am willing to lay down my life. But I will take it up again." Jesus resurrected himself. "But I will take it up again. No one takes my life away from me. I lay it down of myself. I have authority to lay it down as I have authority to take it up. I have received such a commandment from my Father." That's in eternity. Christ, known as Jesus Christ or Jesus Christ Michael, is an eternal deity, co-equal with God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit in paradise. And some of that you'll see also in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Section 2, the crucifixion. Crucifixion was resorted to in order to provide a cruel and lingering punishment, the victim sometimes not dying for several days. There was considerable sentiment against crucifixion in Jerusalem, and there existed a society of Jewish women who always sent a representative to crucifixions for the purpose of offering drugged wine to the victim in order to lessen his suffering. But when Jesus tasted this narcotized wine, as thirsty as he was, he refused to drink it. The master chose to retain his human consciousness up to the very end. He desired to meet even this cruel and inhuman form and conquer it by voluntary submission to the full human experience. Before Jesus was put on the cross, the two brigands or thieves had already been placed on their crosses, all the while cursing and spitting upon their executioners. That's normal human nature for the cruel treatment they were receiving. But what did Jesus do? Let's read this. Jesus' only words as they nailed him to the crossbeam were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He could not have so mercifully and lovingly interceded for his executioners if such thoughts of affectionate devotion had not been the mainspring of all his life of unselfish service. The ideas, motives, and longings of a lifetime are openly revealed in a crisis. Amen. This is tremendous. Our true God-man, Jesus Christ Michael, here reveals God's infinite love and lavish mercy. Jesus did not thus pray to change God, but to teach human listeners there to show God's and Jesus' perfect and gracious, forgiving spiritual love. I think that's one of the most powerful verses in the whole Bible. And it's in the Ranch book, too, of course. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Section 4, The Thief on the Cross, page 2008. One of the brigands railed at Jesus, saying, "If you are the Son of God, why do you not save yourself and us?" But when he had reproached Jesus, other thief, who had many times heard the master teach, said, "You have no fear even of God? Do you not see that we are suffering justly for our deeds? But this man suffers unjustly. Better that we should seek forgiveness for our sins and salvation for our souls." When Jesus heard the thief say this, he turned his face toward him and smiled approvingly. When the malefactor saw the face of Jesus turned toward him, he mustered up his courage, fanned the flickering flame of his faith, and said, quote, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now listen, very important, the words here of Jesus. And then Jesus said, "Verily, verily," that means in all truth, "verily, verily, I say to you today, you shall sometime be with me in paradise." He didn't say, "Verily, verily, I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise." That's what's in the Bible. They left out the word sometime. And so we should note that, which was left out, sometime. That's a big difference. We humans all have a very long time of ascension up through many ever higher heavens before we are all perfected and then admitted as an eternal paradise resident son in the family of Jesus Christ, Michael, and God the Paradise Father as one combined spirit and will union. Now, our ascension into paradise roughly is about a trillion years. But don't worry, long before we get to a trillion years, we transcend time. That's meaningless. Later we'll have to transcend space. So it doesn't seem long. It's more and more glorious, much, much. Each higher heaven is far more glorious than the previous one. There's over a billion of those. Section 5, Last Hour on the Cross, page 2010. Shortly after 1 o'clock, amidst the increasing darkness of the fierce sandstorm, Jesus began to fail in human consciousness. His last words of mercy, forgiveness, and admonition had been spoken. His last wish concerning the care of his mother had been expressed. During this hour of approaching death, the human mind of Jesus resorted to the repetition of many passages in the Hebrew Scriptures, particularly the Psalms. The last conscious thought of the human Jesus was concerned with the repetition in his mind of a portion of the Book of Psalms, now known as the 20th, 21st, and 22nd Psalms. While his lips would often move, he was too weak to utter the words as these passages, which he well knew by heart, would pass through his mind. Only a few times did those standing by catch some utterance such as, quote, "I know the Lord will save his anointed," unquote, quote, "Your hand shall find out all my enemies," unquote, and, quote, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And that's quoting from Psalm 22. Jesus did not, for one moment, entertain the slightest doubt that he had lived in accordance with the Father's will. And he never doubted that he was now laying down his life in the flesh in accordance with his Father's will. He did not feel that the Father had forsaken him. He was merely reciting in his vanishing consciousness many scriptures, among them this 22nd Psalm, which begins with, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And this happened to be one of the three passages which was spoken with sufficient clearness to be heard by those standing by. But those are not the last words of Jesus. Here we go. Page 2011. It was just before 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's April 7th, 83, when Jesus, with a loud voice, cried out. This must be superhuman Jesus. See, the superhuman Jesus never died. He had spirit, personality, divine mind, all that's intact, whether it's body, alive, or dead. So he has a powerful voice, and he cries out, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And when he had thus spoken, he bowed his head and gave up the last struggle. When the Roman centurion saw how Jesus died, he smote his breast and said, "This was indeed a righteous man. Truly he must have been a son of God." And from that hour he began to believe in Jesus. Jesus died royally as he had lived. He freely admitted his kingship and remained master of the situation throughout the tragic day. He went willingly to his ignominious death after he had provided for the safety of his chosen apostles. He wisely restrained Peter's troublemaking violence and provided that John might be near him right up to the end of his mortal existence. He revealed his true nature to the murderous Sanhedrin and reminded Pilate of the source of his sovereign authority as the Son of God. He started out to Golgotha bearing his own crossbeam and finished up his loving bestowal by handing over his spirit of mortal acquirement to the Paradise Father. After such a life and at such a death, the Master could truly say, "It is finished." Revelation 21, verses, I think, 3 through 7, "It is finished." That's in there too. So that completes our study here, reading passages from the Urantia book. Now, if you wanted to get the whole context, these are just a few paragraphs, of hundreds of paragraphs. Last week in Jesus' life is covered by, I don't know, 5 or 6, 7 papers in the Urantia book.
Almost 200 pages.
On what happened in the last week in Jesus' incarnate life here. So if you want a full picture, you can get that. The Urantia book's public domain. And on my website, purechristians.org or ledbyjesus.org, I've gone through the book 2.5 times and covering primarily the spiritual and religious aspects. So I have all that on there too, plus my added comments. Want to wish everybody a happy Easter. And we do, on our bigger shows, we usually have co-hosts. We have Cindy Cooper, Cheryl Smalley, and sometimes other men co-hosting that we do on our bigger shows. But I've saved all our 865 shows. Some are half hours, some are hour, and some are two-hour shows. And I have all those shows, and slowly I am cleaning those up with Audacity, and I'm publishing them. We wish you love, peace, and progress in spirit and in Father, Son, truth. Your host, Brother Dave. If you like this show, please tell your friends or relatives, come and listen to the show. If you have anything you'd like to share with me, just email me. My email, if you go to my website, you can see my email, dave@purechristians.org. And I'm glad to send you more material on anything from our shows here on the podcast or from the website. If you want to help us and be a co-host or a featured guest here on either Blog Talk Radio or on Podbean, we can set that up. I'm glad to do that too. I will do a show, hopefully, on Saturday, Mysterious Saturday. That'll be interesting. What happened on Saturday? Not many people know about that. And then we'll do an Easter Sunday show here, too. And then it'll be over on Podbean later, too. So let's now play My God is Real.